Ephesians chapter 4. As we're looking in the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 4, we're dealing with the nature of the church. And as we've looked so far, we've saw the place of the believer in verses 1 through 16. Now we see the practice of the believer. And verses 17 down through 32 is where we've been looking at. We're going to get the last few verses in the chapter. So if you look down at verse number 30, he says, in the Word of God, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." As we look in the Word of God this morning, I want to preach to you on grieving the Holy Spirit. He says there in verse number 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit." I want to talk to you about what that is and about grieving the Holy Spirit. We're going to see some facts surrounding that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, God, and we thank you, Lord, for letting us be in the house of God, to be in the place, God, where you put us to be faithful. And we pray, God, that you'll just move and do a work in our hearts and lives. We pray Psalm 119, verse 18 together. "Open thou mine eyes, and I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." I pray today, God, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, that you let me preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord God, we thank you for what you're going to do. Be with us in this time. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. As we look in the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 4, as we look at grieving the Holy Spirit, he tells us to grieve not the Spirit. That shows us the number one fact about grieving the Spirit of God is the possibility of grieving the Spirit of God. If you look at that verse again, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." May I point out to you today that a lot of folks don't know how the Spirit of God works. And when they don't, and somebody brings up something to them that the Bible says about the Spirit of God, they immediately say, "Well, you don't know the Spirit of God. Here's the problem. You don't know the Scriptures." Amen. Jesus told that crowd of Sadducees over there, "You do greatly err not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God." Right. If we understand correctly what that thing just said, it said, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." God gets grieved at us on a personal level because he's with us personally. He mentions in that verse about that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. If you look back over in chapter 1, verse 13, he says, in whom ye also trusted, chapter 1, verse 13, "After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." What we find out is that when you got saved, God sealed you right then with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is how Jesus walks with you along life's open way. The Holy Spirit is how that God Almighty is able to be with you to the end of the world. Amen. The Holy Spirit is how he said, "I'll be with you in life's darkest places." The Holy Spirit is how he'll be with you beside the still waters and lead you there. The Holy Spirit of God is how God leads his people. But he said, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." So there's a possibility of grieving him. And what I understand about the things of this context of the Scripture is that folks get this thing in the mess, and when God gets quiet and they get in sin, they grieve the Holy Spirit, immediately they draw the false conclusions concerning that. The number one thing is this: "Well, I must have lost my salvation." You didn't lose your salvation, but you did lose fellowship with God. You're still his, he's still yours, you're still sealed to the day of redemption, but the Holy Spirit of God gets quiet.
Right.
There's a lot of people that associate loud noises with the Holy Spirit of God. But one thing you better understand, there is also a quiet with the Holy Spirit of God. When he gets quiet, it may be for several reasons. One, he's just wanting you to trust his word and watch him work it out. Or number two, you might need to go over to Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, and ask God to search you and know your heart and find out if there be any wicked way in you. And if you sinned against him, whether by sins of commission or omission, and find out why God is being silent towards you. If the Holy Spirit of God shows you that you're not in the wrong, He's just trying to show you something, then sit back and watch, because it's fixing to happen. It's fixing to be good. But if you have done something, He'll point that thing out, and you can mark this down until you get it right. He won't speak another word to you. He'll just keep quiet, back up, and say, okay, you want to run it and you want to stay in sin, He'll let you run that thing until you get sick of it.
Yeah.
And that thing being your life and everything around you. And as we talk about the nature of the church, can I point something out to you? It's not so much that our churches are full of lost people, which they very well may be, but we probably got churches full of people who have grieved the Spirit of God, who have not seen the Spirit of God move in their hearts and lives, because they are hanging on to sin, that they not of sins of omission, sins of commission, where they know they've done things, but pride won't let them confess that thing to the Lord. Pride won't let them repent. Pride will keep them right there, and pride will keep the Spirit of God quiet in your life.
Yeah.
They'll fall out with people and say it's all their fault, when in reality it may be their fault. But God didn't call you to hold grudges. He called you to forgive. And when you forgive, you stay in a relationship with Him. Maybe not, listen, you may not ever get everybody to forgive you and like you on this side of the grave, but listen, as long as He does and you follow what He says, you'll be fine. Grieve not the Spirit of God. That possibility is there. And we find out when He says about the fact of the thing is, if it's possible, and it is, it says, and grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you sealed in the day of redemption. It's possible to go to heaven with the Spirit of God grieved inside of you and you still be saved. Jesus said, I've given them eternal life. They shall never perish. They eternal life. Everlasting life. John 3:16. What does that tell me? That tells me I've always got Him and He's always got me. But I could grieve Him to the point where it's possible me and Him don't fellowship anymore. Do Christians get like that every day of their life? And by the way, before you look up here at Meat Cross, I don't tell you something. He that's without sin cast the first stone. Amen. I mean, really, that's possible. That's very possible. You can grieve the Spirit of God in all kinds of ways. But here's the thing. You don't have to remain in that type of fellowship with God. When I see the possibility of grieving the Spirit of God, if you look down to verse 31, I see the products that's associated with grieving the Spirit of God. He points this out. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Those things right there are products of grieving the Spirit of God. He says, let all bitterness. When's the last time you really sat down and talked with somebody that's been in church a long time and they wasn't bitter about something? Well, back in 1973, we voted to have brown carpet and I voted for blue. I haven't forgiven those deacons for that yet. So that wouldn't happen in a church. It'll happen in every church. Well, we wanted to paint the walls flat white and they made it gloss white and I didn't like it. And they're still mad about it, still holding a grudge about it. So them things are silly. You wait, do you hear what I'm fixing to say? They took my parking place. They sat in my seat. Don't they know my grandma bought that pew? We put her name on it. Then our mean old preacher come by and took the tag off. Amen and amen. I'm mad at him too. You want to see liberty in the church and you want to see revival happen? Quit putting everybody's name on it. Take it off her and dedicate the thing to God without putting your name on it. You'll see God do a work. But if you want to see bitterness pop up, somebody get grieved the Spirit of God, you listen, you tell them that grandma's dipping snuff was a sin, though she may be saved. You tell them that smoking cigarettes is a S-I-N sin, they'll fall out with you. You tell them that being F-A-T is a sin, and they will fall out with you. Thus, they'll fall out with the Spirit of God. And don't say I called you fat. I spelled it out. But listen to me carefully. That possibility and products of that thing, the first one's bitterness. When people's bitter, it's because they grieve the Spirit of God. He says in that verse, he said, let all bitterness. He said, what's this thing here? Let all bitterness and wrath. Well, they got the secular world, and psychologists would call it this. Anger management problems. Anger management problems. They want to sentence you to a class of anger management classes where you will go in and they'll tell you you're mad and you're carrying issues around with you and it's going to disturb your health before long. And you'll say, well, Mr. Psychiatrist, I believe that, but you don't know what them people's done to me. And he'll say, I know, they did it to me too. But you got to resolve those anger issues. You just can't get mad and start throwing things through windows. You ever been on vacation and heard the wind above you, right above you? Then double glass doors, hear a chair come out the thing, pow. You know what that is? That's not anger issues, that's wrath. Wrath, W-R-A-T-H, wrath. That's where they take anger and put wheels on it and drive it where it don't need to go. When somebody gets full of wrath, they probably have grieved the Spirit of God. And I'm talking about church people now. When I see somebody get up, slam their Bible, stomp out of a Sunday school class, you know what that is? That's wrath. You've grieved the Spirit of God. When you come around and say, well, that Sunday school teacher was teaching on Sunday, says, I didn't like it. Well, you need to take it up with him or her. But that whole, I ain't going back to Sunday school, that's wrath. So that's not throwing a chair through a window. It's close enough. It's a worse window. Because what happens is they'll say it in front of the church folks and grieve the Spirit of God and then get them wrapped up in that stuff. And if they're lucky, that person won't join sides with them. But most of the time, they will. Well, I didn't like how he said it either. I didn't like how she said it either. I didn't like that either. Well, hey, they ain't got no right saying that. Take it up with your teacher. If you don't like how I say something, I don't care. I done got to where I don't. Listen, if I said it wrong, I said it wrong. If I said it mean, you probably took it wrong. Because I'm not mean. Right?
Right. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's what I thought. But I do know this much. The possibility of grieving the Spirit of God, you got bitterness, you got wrath. He says this one right here. And anger. You walk around with it. Listen, you walk around not throwing glass something through windows, but you walk around mad all the time. You get in a car. You drive down the road. That guy made you mad. You went to pull in Walmart. And that guy cut you off. He made you mad. Walmart only had 2 registers open. They got 40 up there. Why don't they do something about this? And you're mad right there. Then you get on Facebook and somebody posts them. You didn't like that. I wish there was a hate button because I push that one. And you carry that thing. The issue is not that you're mad. The issue is you grieve the Spirit of God. If you were to go out today and see the symptoms of something and treat symptoms, you might could make a fortune off people. Pharmaceutical industry. Because people will treat symptoms and never treat the problem, and it's because they don't have an understanding of the problem. You see, when we look at the products of this thing, and anger being one of them, well, you just need to calm down. No, you don't need to calm down. You need to confess that to Jesus and let Him clean that thing up in your life. Instead of treating the symptom, treat the problem. The problem's you. See, the products of that thing show up. He said anger, and then there's this one, and clamor. I looked up that word clamor, and it's a loud and confused noise, and it's also a strongly expressed protest or demand. If you find somebody's grieved the Spirit of God, you know what they're doing? They're holding up picket signs out in front of something. I ain't talking about striking on a job. I'm talking about this protesting they're doing nowadays. That's an example of the word clamor. So, well, I don't know if they'd do that stuff in the church. Well, let me see. Look at all the empty seats around you. Somebody's doing it. Sometimes people protest with a sign. Sometimes they protest with absence.
Right.
I don't like what you're doing. You make me mad. I'm protest. It also means this. If all you can do is scream and holler at each other at your house, you need to quit grieving the Spirit of God. There's products of that thing showing up. We had a man tell us this week that he thought he was never going to sell his house because of his neighbors. He said every time he'd bring somebody over to sell that house, bam, that side door came. Just all the time. Clamor. What is that? That's a product of grieving the Spirit of God. Who done that? Probably that person that knocked that door open. They've grieved the Spirit of God. How about every time I come at your house for dinner, every time I come over, you can walk to that door, slam the door, and say, I ain't going back in there. You go in if you want to. I ain't going back in there.
Come on. Tell it.
What has she done that? See, that can happen to anybody.
That's right.
That's not a localized problem. That's a universal problem to save people. And you may not know you can grieve the Spirit of God, but I promise you this, the devil did, and that's why he got you to do it. And he'll take that thing. Listen, I remember years ago I preached for Brother Chris Osborne up in North Carolina, and in that church they got a big old red cross in the back of it on the windows back there, and when the sun comes up it casts a big red shadow across our sanctuary. Boy, it's beautiful. Never forget that. Got up there, and we were sitting up there in that sanctuary and seeing all that stuff, how beautiful that was. That Sunday morning I was up there with him, I thought, man, this can't get no better as far as beauty on the side of a mountain. I mean, whoever thought of that thing back there like that? That was just, that's like a Willa idea. I didn't. But the beauty left out of there when the Sunday school director started saying, well, I got to go before preaching. I won't be seeing you here in preaching. Why? Well, the preacher made me mad. I thought, dear God, I ain't started yet. I said, who are you? He said, I'm the Sunday school director. He said, who are you? I said, the preacher just made you mad. He said, I don't know you. I said, I don't know you either. Why don't you hang around for a while?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Be ye kind one to another, you know. Hey, listen. You can grieve the Spirit of God. And he says there about that anger and clamor. And then he says, evil speaking. What's that a product of? That's grieving the Spirit of God. I keep seeing this over and over with this thing, that with all that stuff associated with the grieving of the Spirit of God, then evil speaking shows up. And I have to kind of wonder that in these social-driven religious churches around here, why are they always preaching on politics and never preaching on the power of God? Can I tell you why? They cut off the line with the Spirit of God. They cut off that line. Now they've grieved him. And because they've grieved him, what they've essentially done is, when they grieve the Spirit of God, and because they grieve the Spirit of God, now all of a sudden they got all this evil speaking amongst them. How'd it happen? It was real simple. Somewhere back there you grieve the Spirit of God.
Right.
Now the products of it is this. You know how most people listen to this? This is just my opinion, and you can take this for what you want it. But I do believe the reason why folks want to believe they lose their salvation is so they can lose their responsibility for the things they say and do.
Yeah.
Well, so you Baptists show up and y'all drink on Saturday night and come to church on Sunday morning. Well, how'd you know we was drinking if you wasn't with us last night? But, however we wasn't.
Right.
If you know any of my people it was, you let me know. We'll straighten that thing out.
Amen.
But I do know this. I do know that we show up at the house of God, and if we don't take responsibility for our actions and we push it off on, well, I was lost and I did all that. Next time you mess up and the devil gets you in a mess, you'll do the same thing and you won't take responsibility for it then either.
Come on.
And that's the problem. Nobody wants to take responsibility.
Yeah.
I've told married couples this, and when they start to get married, and I've told them when they're about to break up, only two problems you got is priorities and responsibilities. You don't know how to deal with either one of them two things. There are certain things in life that are priority in your life, and there are certain things responsibility. And if you don't file them things in the right category, you'll be back on this evil speaking crowd, and the priority of having a relationship with Jesus Christ will be cut off because you grieved the Spirit of God through sin.
Right.
So which one? Whichever one you're doing right here, I guess. See, that's products of it.
Yeah.
But see, there is good news about all this. God's not sitting back in heaven saying, well, I'm cutting that off, I'm cutting that off, I'm cutting that off, I'm cutting you off. What does God do? God offers this. He shows you the possibility of grieving the Spirit of God. He shows you the products of grieving the Spirit of God. But one last fact I found out is this. There is a pardon of grieving the Spirit of God. That is a sin God can forgive. See, we got this list of stuff in our mind that we don't believe God can forgive. We don't believe He can forgive sins other people commit, but He can forgive all ours. We believe that if we go out and we find some people and we look around and say, there's no way God will forgive them, but yet He'll forgive you. Listen to this. He'll forgive all of us. And a Christian who strays and grieves the Spirit of God, God, through His infinite mercy, through His shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, if you'll confess that thing to Him, He's faithful and just and to forgive it. And it says in 1 John 1, 9, to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If God's Spirit's able to do that, He'll not only bring it back to your attention, but He'll bring it back to the date and time of it. He'll show you where you've grieved Him and how the possibility of the thing happened. And all of a sudden, the impossibility becomes a probability, and that's what happened. You say, that wouldn't happen to me. And He shows you these products, all this stuff. And God's showing you this. But then He opens up His arms and says, I'll forgive you for it. If you look at verse 31 again, he said, let all bitterness and wrath and clamor, or and anger and clamor and evil speaking, watch this, be put away from you with all malice. Malice is like intent. It means you purposely intended to do something. I found out why people don't get right with God. They never intend to. They never intend to. And if the Spirit of God's grieved in your life, if you want things fixed, today is that day.
Right.
How so? You got to listen. You got to make intent on that thing. He said to put all that away from you with all malice. What are you talking about? Asking the Lord to forgive you of them S-I-N-S sins.
Right.
We preach to lost people and say you need to turn from your sin of rejecting Jesus Christ and be saved. And they do that. And then we never tell them their sins that will get in their life that will grieve the Spirit of God. We need to tell them, hey, here's these sins. These are products of what happened to you. So why didn't he name off what it was that grieved the Spirit of God? Because that's what he wants to deal with you about.
Yeah.
And listen, there's no doubt in my mind, listen, that I've seen people all over our church and churches I've been in, the very reason they can't do nothing for God is them.
Yeah.
They don't have no intent for doing it. And the best way to get around that thing is change your priorities.
Right.
My big toe hurts. Well, bless your heart. What's the real problem? They was mean to me. Really? How about I catch you on a bad day and see how you act?
Right. Yep.
Oh, well, that don't count when I do it. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about that part. When people come up and they say, well, I'm not grieving the Spirit of God, I promise you, you are. If you've got to come up and advertise it, you probably are. Two things about Christians I've understood over the years. If one's humble, he'll never have to tell you. If one's grieved the Spirit of God, he'll always tell you he didn't do it. You won't even have to ask. But I see this for a fact, though. The pardon of grieving the Spirit of God, he said, let this be put away from you with all malice, have intent. And when you do that, verse 32, he says, and be ye kind one to another. What'll that mean? That means you'll stop avoiding people.
Right.
Anybody avoid anybody here today? Anybody avoid anybody? Did you come in this building today to avoid somebody?
No.
I've seen people come in this church and get right with God over sin in their life. And people still say, well, I ain't going to their baby shower.
Yeah.
Bunch of devils.
Right.
That's what you think.
Come on.
I've seen people get their lives straightened out. Get in a mess with sin. God forgive them for the thing and then get back in right fellowship with God. And people in this very church say, well, I don't know about all that.
Yeah. Amen.
Let me give you them Joel Osteen teeth. So I'd never do that. No, you wouldn't, would you? At least while I'm saying it, you think you wouldn't.
Right.
Here's the fact. God will pardon you of that thing.
Right.
Say, but they did wrong. Yeah, and they asked for forgiveness. Where was you at?
That's right. Yeah. Come on.
See, this is a side, ain't it? It sure is.
Yeah.
We digging a row and putting a seed in there too.
Right.
Listen to this. That pardon of grieving the Spirit of God, one of the first signs of it is you'll start liking everybody.
Yeah.
Especially the church people.
Amen.
I like all of you.
Amen.
I must love you. I put up with you.
Well,
you say, but you don't know how good of a person I am. Well, maybe you do, preacher. I know how good you are, too. I know how kind of a bad sheep you can be, too. Amen. I know. But I know this. If we pardon the Spirit, if we get the pardon of God from grieving the Spirit of God, we'll have fellowship one with another and with Jesus Christ. That's biblical.
Right.
He says, be kind to one another, and get this one, tenderhearted. Tenderhearted. What does that mean? That means your heart will melt when somebody else is going through problems, and you'll pray for them and say, Lord, help them. You'll say, Lord, I see they need something done. I want to help them. Is that right?
Right.
Even when you go up to the Board of Public Works and say, I want to pay this bill, and that woman says, I ain't letting you pay this bill, and you want to reach over there and snatch her glasses off her face and tell her, look here, you. You give you a job like this, you become Hitler. You're not Hitler. Give me your boss. You just say, okay, I'll be right back. You go find your boss. Amen. So listen, I'm trying to pay money up here and they won't take my money.
Yep.
They'll come take that money every time.
Yep.
Be tenderhearted. Yep. Don't take no for an answer in tenderheartedness. Go do it. Well, I went to Hardy's the other day and I found me a homeless guy. He ain't homeless. He's a panhandler. What you do like this book says and find somebody sitting around you right now and be good to them.
Right.
Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. I hate to think I watched somebody drive out of this parking lot on three wheels and I wouldn't even stop and tell them.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be bad? Especially if he's in a Chevrolet, that'd be real bad, wouldn't it?
Amen.
Don't tell me about Chevrolets and Fords. I'm going to tell you something. I had to push two of them up the hill last few weeks right over here. Doing 20 miles an hour on a 55. Come on. Say, what was you, tenderhearted? I pushed them up the hill where they could get up at amen and amen. It's probably just a coincidence, both of them are Chevrolets, but I don't know. I don't know. I've had both of them conk out on me, so I ain't going to pick a side no more, I guess. I know this. Mr. Henry Ford, I know he was against the Jew in World War II and financed Hitler on part of his stuff.
Right.
The very football team he bought and paid for, the Detroit Lions, have never been to the World Championship. Wait a minute, how'd that happen? Be good to them, I'll be good to you. You be bad to them, I'll be bad to you. Right? And before you Chevrolet people start hopping up and down, Obama bought them, so that's government motors now, so GM, so you got that thing going. So what I'm saying is we don't have a good guy in either fight, except Dodge and Honda. Is that right? God, y'all are so stiff today, man. Listen to me. One of the things about the pardon of the Holy Spirit is this. When he pardons you from grieving him, he said, be kind to the tenderhearted, and get this one, forgiving one another. But there's a thing here. It says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How dare somebody come along and say, I can't forgive a person in my life because of whatever it is, and you'd rather maintain a grieved relationship where you grieve the Spirit of God rather than think about how what Christ did when he forgave you. If I see somebody fall into sin, my first objective is this, is Lord, why? Why did they do that? Then I realize why. There's a real devil that tempted them. And he knew when the weakest moment to bring that thing was. When I see somebody come along and do me wrong, I know this. I'm probably not the only one they've done wrong, but I think about this. You may not believe this. Before I got saved, I did people wrong. And I got to think about that thing. Have I done anybody wrong since I got saved? And I need to learn this. Whether they ever forgive me, I got to forgive them, because I'm going to walk with the Lord, not walk in bitterness and anger and clamor and wrath and evil speaking. But he said, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, I want to forgive them whether they ever turn around and return the favor.
Right.
Here's why. If Jesus Christ died for all sins, and he did, is that right?
Right.
What year was it when it happened? Well, you'd think 0 AD or 33 AD, whatever it was back there. It's been 2,000 years in the past one way or another, right?
Yeah.
So I'm only speaking from 2017. If he forgave all those sins back there, and whosoever will may come and get that forgiveness, that meant before I ever asked for it, I already had it.
Right.
I just had to come get it.
Right.
So if somebody does you wrong, and they never come back and ask you for forgiveness, if you forgive them, that's even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Where they ever ask. Do you know that Jesus sat there on a cross, and the first thing on the cross, what was it he said again? Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. Do you realize everybody in front of him that he told that about died? Every one of them. Some of them died saved, some of them died lost. But they all died with this. He was willing to forgive everything.
Right.
We hang on to one little thing. Y'all know what a treble hook is on a fishing lure? Them got three hooks hanging at the bottom of it. I'm going to tell you something. You get hooked by one of them, you'll have to go to the merchant room and get that thing out. Mm. Two of them bury it in your skin, you'll say, I'll be a tough guy to pull out. No, you'll be crying when they go in there and crying when that doctor gets them out of there. I had a man tell me one time, he said the worst pain he ever felt in his life. He reared back with a fishing rod and he started to come around to cast that thing and he heard it go, doop. He said, both sets of treble hooks in his back. I said, what'd you do? He said, I fell down and said, Lord, if you'll let me drive to the hospital, I'll let them take them things out. Amen. He said he got up there at that hospital, and that guy said, Somebody to give you something for pain. He said, I don't care. Get them things out of there. And you know, that's a bitter process to go through. But you know what that guy don't do anymore? Do all that Gilligan casting is what I call it. My daddy knew a man one time, and he had a rattle trap on the end of a fishing rod that he didn't put up, and he brought it in and set it down. He says, honey, I'm home. I've caught fish. We're going out here and clean them, everything. He walks out the door. The cat smells the fish on that lure. Can you guess what happened to the cat? He got both treble hooks and one of them in his nose and two of them in his paws. And boy, that cat was miserable and couldn't move. They had to take him to the vet, and they cut that lure where they could get them things back out of him. If you walk up that cat right now, shake a rattle at him like him rattle. He'll shake, he'll run off. If you show him a fishing rod, he'll take off to the other room. He don't want to have nothing to do with that thing. Shouldn't you and I be the same way? If the devil tricks us on something, gets us before we grieve the Spirit of God, we get the pardon back and realize that Christ has forgiven us, shouldn't every time that thing come up, we'd run from that thing like that? See, there is a pardon for this thing. Look over at 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. I'm going to give it to you in writing. First John chapter 1, verse 9. When we're talking about grieving the Holy Spirit, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, written to Christians now, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess. That has nothing to do with going in a little box and talking to somebody. But it has everything to do with talking to Christ. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You come to him and say, Lord, where I've grieved you, I want to get that thing right today. Lord, where I've failed you and grieved the Holy Spirit of God, and heaven's been silent as brass, Lord, I want to get that thing right. Yeah. He'll not only forgive you, it says he'll cleanse you all unrighteousness. Right. That's something he'll do. Say, I got to work on that? You ain't got to work on that. He works on it. Amen. A person pointed out to me one time, said, now if I sin and I go back and commit that same sin again, do I come back and confess it every time? Yep. So what'll that do? It's like taking old dusty basket, one of old wicker baskets, and getting water in it. How much do you think it'll hold? It'll fall out of there, right? But the more you keep dipping in there, the less dust you're going to have on him. And that's like us. We may get dirty in this world, but let's keep going back to the water and let's keep drinking his water. Let's not grieve the water. Let's not quench the water. Let's get in the water. Let's let Christ forgive us of that horrible sin of grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.